The title of the first series for this year is My Spiritual Growth, A Life of Trust. My Spiritual Growth, A Life of Trust. And we are going to be in the book of Genesis, chapter 37 through the end of Genesis, looking at the life of Joseph. And today the title of our sermon is Joseph's Pain. Joseph's Pain. Joseph's Pain. Father, thank you now. Breathe upon us as we read your word for clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. The story of Joseph is a beautiful passage, a beautiful allotment of scriptures in the Bible, and it depicts the life of a man that was thrown into his greatness by the severity of his pain. Without him experiencing the pain that God allowed him to experience, it could be questioned would he have reached the greatness that God had for his life at the end. There's something for us to be alarmed and understand that the greatness of Joseph's pain and the greatness of our pain is the key to our greatness. The depth of his pain led to the greatness of his life. And some of us, we have questioned God, why have I had to go through so much? Why have I had to endure life like this? Because, you know, when you start comparing your life to others' lives, you really start questioning, well, they had an easy route, so why wasn't my route as easy? Could it be that God has allowed you to endure all that you have endured to prepare you ultimately for the greatness to be exposed of him in your life? So can I step to the edge this morning to challenge us not to go into 2020 asking God why all the time? Instead, let's go into 2020 asking God, telling God, okay. All right, I'm gonna try this out. Can we go into 2020 and stop asking God why all the time? And instead, let's trust him by saying, okay. And I understand that it's hard to deal with the fire when you're in the fire. I don't want y'all to think, I know some of y'all think I'm God's second brother and all that, and I'm real close to him and I'm the next thing since the Godhead, but I'm not. I endure stuff like you endure stuff. Pain hurts me like pain hurts you. Yet we all have to come to the place where we're willing to trust God no matter what. No matter the disappointment that comes our way, we have a decided mind that we're going to trust God, not halfway, but all the way. We're going to look at this life of Joseph. We're going to spend the rest of the series dealing with how do you handle God's response of grace? Because in the latter half of Joseph's life, Joseph has to figure out how he's still going to represent God, although the people that hurt him now need him. We're going to deal with that because it's going to happen to you. The same folks that held you down, that talked about you, didn't see nothing good about you. You lose weight. We ain't lost that much weight. Everything you do is just, it's never good enough. How do you still show kindness to them being the reflection of God, although they did stab you in your face? See, some of y'all have been stabbed in the back. When you live long enough, you get somebody stabbing your face and you're looking at you. So y'all real saved. I ain't been saved that long. I've been stabbed in the back. Forget the back. It's twinkle, twinkle. They stabbing you in your eye, looking at you. All right. But in order for us to deal with the results of God's grace, we have to deal with the depth of one's pain. Because his pain prepared him to experience the results of God's grace. Despise not humble beginnings. Despise not the days that they tried to hold you down. Because what God has for you is ultimately greater than anybody's suppression of you. And you have to come to the place in your own heart of hearts that you're willing to endure all you have to endure for God's glory. Because there is something greater on the other side of this. I'm going to say it again, Reverend. There is something greater on the other side of this. Did you hear me? Y'all tell somebody around, tell them there is something greater on the other side of this. And listen, I know it's dark. I know you're lonely. I know you want some thighs, all you single folks laying next to you, but there's something greater. Ask some of these married folks. They like to trade places with you. See? On the other side of this, David says it well in Psalm 30 and 5. His anger lasts for a moment. The end of the verse says, but weeping may endure for a night. But there's something on the other side of this, everybody. Joy comes in the morning. Let's look at Joseph. Four things I want to put on the altar of your heart, and then we will go down from this place. Remember, Joseph's pain was the key to his greatness. So let's talk about his pain. Are you walking with me? Write this down, if you will. The first thing, put on the altar of your heart. Joseph's pain was caused by love. Joseph's pain was caused by love. There in Genesis 37, verses 1 through 5, the word of the Lord says this. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's lifeline. Joseph, a young man, 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought his father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph, underline love, everybody underline say love. Loved Joseph more than any of his brothers because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornamental robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph's pain was caused by love. Jot this down. In chapters prior to this, in chapters 29 and 30, we see the depth of Jacob's love is because of the woman named Rachel. Jacob was trying to win the heart of Rachel. And in order to do that, he had to work for her father, Laban. Laban tricked him and lied to him. But finally, Jacob was able to marry Rachel. And because of Jacob and Rachel getting together in his old age, somebody say, God is still working. All right. In his old age, why y'all so heavy? It's the first Sunday of the year. My goodness. In spite of that, they were able to produce two sons. One name is Joseph, the other name is Benjamin. Because of God giving Jacob favor, Jacob loved Rachel more than the other wives that he had, and therefore he loved the son of that union more than all the other sons. Because of his love for Rachel and his love for Joseph, it now became the catalyst for Joseph experiencing familial pain, family pain, because of his father's love. Have you ever experienced misplaced love? Have you ever experienced misguided love? Where people say they love you so much that it diminishes the quality of everybody else because of their love for you. Now listen, that's fine if it's your husband to wife or wife to husband, right? Because I shouldn't make any other woman feel as good as I make mine, right? Y'all supposed to say that's right, Ray? All right. And wives, you shouldn't make another man feel as good as you make your husband. Is that right? All right, y'all help me out now. But when it comes to children, now it's about to get real sensitive right here, okay? Hold on, y'all walk with me. It's about to get sensitive. Because this is one of the results when you start blending families. When you have a blended family, in premarital counseling, when we talk to families that are blending two families together, that husband and wife, they've got to be on a greater page of conversation and communication. You got to end up being on the same one. Because if there's any division that's going to rise first, it's going to be with those chillings. Because the moment one mess up, ain't your daddy no way. All right. Y'all too saved. I tell you, y'all just saved, too saved, too saved. And for this cause, there was a deficiency in the communication with Joseph and all of his boys because he, with Jacob and his boys, because he loved Joseph more. Y'all, that's a problem. When parents don't know how to balance affection for their children. Y'all, this is a live issue, so I'm not expecting a whole lot of conversation back at me, because a lot of us have had to deal with this. Now listen, all three of mine, as my dad would say, came from the same tent. And they try to pin us against each other, because they're their mother's children. You see what I'm saying? And so they try to pin us against each other. So can you imagine when you're bringing four families together? And if you're not communicating, overly communicating, how a father could give more love toward the son from the woman he really wanted versus from the women he got. Okay, yeah. His love was misguided. And because his love was misguided, his son Joseph now is going to bear the brunt of his father's misguided love. Y'all see, I didn't make this up. Joseph's pain was caused by his father's love. All because his father didn't do it right from the beginning, his brothers now hate him. Now, we know the end of the story, that it's, you know, years later it comes together. But imagine all the years lost. Because sometimes we get so spiritual, like, well, I know it's going to come together sooner or later. Why we got to wait till later? How about let's deal with the stuff in our families, Dinah? That's DNA. Deal with DNA stuff now so that we can rejoice together longer, because we as a family have experienced God yoking our hearts together. Joseph's pain began because of love. Let's move on. Look in verses number 5 through 11. The word of the Lord says this: Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers, they hated, everybody say hated, him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out of the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they, everybody say hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father, everybody say rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were, everybody say, jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Joseph's pain was caused by love. His pain was also caused by hate. Text says that his brothers hated him. Hated him. Now, when you look at the interpretation of hate in this particular passage, it's not just having disdain. Because we can use the word hate kind of freely. Oh, I hate cookies and cream ice cream. Or I hate Temptation Island. Oh, I hate How to Get Away with Murder. And some of y'all will never say that because you love that show. Mm-hmm. You're already crazy. You don't need no help trying to figure out how to get away with murder. I dealt with how we're going to handle a live shooting in public is because it happens in public. The reason why, one of the greatest whippings I ever had, my mom gave it to me in public, because I did what I did in public. Listen, the reason why some of our family issues have not been dealt with, because when we deal with it at home in a closed room, now listen, Junior, I want you. No, my mama told me, if you act up in public, see, y'all too bougie. My mama said, if you mess me up in public, I'm gonna mess you up in public. because I have to meet the level of your foolishness. See, And so there were just some things I wouldn't do because I knew my mama was a fool. See, y'all grew up in homes, old Junior. No, my mama said, try it. And yeah, when you look at my mama, you never think she was that crazy. But my mama threw a plate at me one day and then got mad when I ducked. I'm like, what? And the plate broke. I was like, well, did you expect the plate to hit? And her answer was yes. Joseph's pain was caused by hate from his brothers. You really haven't experienced real hatred until you experience it by people with your same blood. You see, people that share your same blood understand that they know all the secrets. And it just sounds different coming from them than it does from somebody on the outside. You see, nobody can really hurt me but this one. I've made myself completely vulnerable to this woman. You see what I'm saying? You see? So if she says something to me, depending on what she says, I'm like, oh, golly, why you say it like that? You know? I'm more sensitive to her voice, right? Now, if some of you said, I'd be like, okay, all right, I'm going home. But if she says, it takes on a brand new form because we share the same DNA as we have become one flesh now. Is everybody with me? So you haven't experienced hurt until hurt comes from somebody that you're supposed to have faith, confidence, and love in. His brothers hated him, and his father never took up for him. Joseph's depth of pain is going to prepare him for his level of greatness. But until then, he has to deal with hurt from misguided love of a father and the hatred of his brothers. One more thing. Two more things. Maybe three more. Look at verse number 31 through verse 35. The word of the Lord says this. Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in blood. They took the ornate robe back to their father and said, we found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe. Not my brother's robe, but you. All right. He recognized it and said, it's my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on a sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. No, he said, I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave. So his father wept for him. Jot this down if you will. Not only was Joseph's pain caused by love, not only was it caused by hate, but it was furthered by deception. Joseph's pain was furthered by deception. This theme of deception surfaces again in Isaac's life. Deception was a piece of their DNA. For this wasn't the first time deception had been on the table in this particular family. Every family has something. This family had deception. Some families got some other things that creep up and rise. But in this family, the idea and concept of deceiving one another was how they communicated. Y'all, that's a bad situation. When the truth will do, why do you lie? When being honest will work, why do you deceive? Y'all, that's a spirit. And we've got to stop being so passive and start dealing with that. Deception, lies, not willing to tell the whole truth, but a little bit to satisfy the moment. All right. And we know that a half truth is still what? It's a whole lie. All right. Deception, this is the act of misleading. Not telling the whole story. Right? Now listen, y'all, all of us have deceived somebody. We didn't tell the whole story every time. So y'all look like, well, don't look at me. Just look somebody. Don't look at me, Ray. All of us have deceived in some way or another. You know, I don't have to start giving examples. You know what that looks like. Because you know what you did. In chapters 29 through 32 of Genesis, we see deception even placed on Jacob. Because Jacob was working for his father-in-law in chapter 29 through 32, working for his father-in-law Laban. And again, Jacob wanted the hand of Rachel in marriage, but Laban kept tricking him. He ended up having to marry Zilpah and all that, and that's not who he wanted. And Leah, that's not who he wanted. He wanted Rachel. Deception. Instead of telling him the truth, you work this long, you get this, he kept deceiving him. Yeah. And that's still not the first time in this family's life. Jacob's name itself means trickster. So Jacob and his mother, what's his mother's name? Rachel. Y'all know Rachel. Jacob got with his mother Rachel to deceive his father to get his brother's Esau's birthright. Deception. It's generational. And it's not a generational curse, but it is a spirit generation that we didn't deal with. Y'all, we got to deal with this generational stuff. To add insult to injury, here these brothers take this ornamental robe and dip it in goat's blood, which is the same thing Rachel told Jacob to do. Take this skin and dip it in goat's blood. The goat sacrificially was for the cleansing of the altar. But instead of using goat's blood to cleanse the altar for a proper sacrifice, God's animal of the goat's blood was used in a system of deception. Yeah, we have to deal with the spirit of deception. Joseph has to deal with being deceived. Jacob has to learn with being dealt with the idea of being deceived. It's not only Joseph and Jacob. We have had to deal with the idea of someone telling us one thing, but their actions were far from that. We've given our hearts to people in marriage and in relationships, and they deceived us, telling us that they were going to give us their all, but they only gave us a quarter. Telling they were going to love us to the very end, not knowing the very end was a month later. How do we get over being deceived by people we love and those that said they loved us? How do you deal with deception when it's in your house? How do you deal with deception when it's in your family? Those that sat at your Christmas dinner table, ate up all your food, and came in with to-go boxes. How do you deal with deception? And the answer of dealing with deception is not going dark silent and letting that spirit linger on and move on to the next generation. Y'all, we've got to deal with the spirit of deception. We have convinced people that we're down for them. But the moment they need us, we're nowhere to be found. We are the deceivers. You do know that God doesn't deceive us. But if we're not walking spiritually, we will be those that deceive others. You do know you deceive when you say you're going to do something and you don't do it. You've lied. So you put a whole system in place that people have planned for this to happen, then you don't do what you're supposed to do. And then you, well, why are you bringing it up? I said, I'm sorry. Your sorry does not excuse you from deceiving me. Joseph's pain was furthered by deception. As we step into 2020, my friends, let's not be active deceivers. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Whatever you're going to decide to do, go ahead and commit wholeheartedly to it and get it done. When we deceive, we let a whole system of people down. I'm going to say it again. I don't care how you look at me. When we don't fulfill our part, we let a system of people down that are expecting us to do what we said we're going to do. And listen, for you deep people, you don't have to go when somebody asks, well, let me go pray, but you ain't got to pray about it. You know if you got time to do it or not. Yeah, I got to go pray. Let me go pray. You got to pray about everything. I mean, some stuff should be common sense, right? If you know you don't get home till 11, don't say you're going to be at a meeting at 7. All right, okay. I thought we were starting over. It's 2020. I thought we were. Don't deceive. God does not deceive us. So why would we pick up a spirit of deception just to further our agenda? Joseph's pain was furthered by deception, which was a live issue in his family's life. I have one last thing that will be done. Look at verse 36 says this. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. So Joseph's pain was caused by love. Joseph's pain was caused by hate. Joseph's pain was furthered by deception. Write this down if you will. Joseph's pain was cured by God's detail. Joseph's pain was cured by God's detail. Listen. If you don't know it, let me be the first one to tell you in 2020 that we serve the God of details. All right, I'm going to say it again. We serve the God of details. Nothing comes as a surprise to God. Nothing comes. You can't, God. You can't shock him. Nothing comes as a surprise. The good, the bad, the indifferent, and the ugly. Nothing comes as a surprise to God. So it's something for us to understand that God knew all that Joseph was going to have to endure to get to his place of greatness. All right. So you have to understand that God knows about all that you have had to endure to get to the state of mind that you're in today, where you are spiritually sold out to him. God knew. He knew about it. He knew about it. We have to honor the fact that human beings, we make decisions. Some of the decisions that we make brings hurt onto other people. Some were touched early in life, and that was not God's choice, but a silly person, an adult that had their own agenda, sparked something in you that made you go down this slippery slope. That was not God. We're going to clear this thing up this morning. Because some of us think that some of the hurt we have endured, if God knew about it, why didn't he stop it? Right. Some of y'all not coming back for the rest of the series. I got to tell all of it now. So we want God to step in and stop everything that's happening to us. That's bad. But if somebody else goes through, well, that's part of their journey. They had to endure that to get through where God wants them to be. But we don't want to go through, we want everything to be all smooth sailing. But see, since we know that our God is sovereign, he does not step in every time because he's banking on us as his sons and daughters to do right by him. Yet some of us have been taken advantage of by some silly Christians and some worldly heathens. You see what I'm saying? But we know that if we love him, it still works for our good. those that love him and are called according to his greatness, God can take all of that hurt. Turn it around for you good. In chapter 50, Joseph is going to tell his brothers, you may have meant it for my bad. See, this is the result of grace. That you can get to the point that you have dealt with the misguided love and the hatred and the deception. You can tell those same people that what you tried to do to take me out, God used it for his kingdom's work. Use it for his good. Here it is that Joseph is now getting ready to start experiencing the cure of bad love, hate, and misguided deception. He's going to get the cure. Y'all read it? It's right there in 36. Did y'all read it? Oh, well, I'm going to read it again. Meanwhile, everybody say meanwhile. The Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials. The captive is gone. And y'all saying, Mac, what? How is that making sense? Why is that the last thing you're going to talk about as if that's good? Because he was just sold into slavery. I see your mind working this. Mac, how are you going to pull this one out? You pulled out some other stuff before. How are you going to pull this one out? I'm glad you asked. So listen. God is the God of detail. So God had to get Joseph from Dothan to Egypt. If Joseph was going to be who God called him to be and fulfill the dreams, Joseph had to get to Egypt. All right. You with me? So in order for Joseph to get to Egypt, he had to be in the right place and the position. He was not in the right place in the cistern where his brothers left him. He was not in the right place when he sold him. They sold him immediately to the other people that were coming up from selling the clothes and selling the all and the merchants and all that. That was not the right place. The right place was him in Egypt. And God had worked it in great detail to get Joseph from Dothan to Egypt. Now, you might not like the circumstances of how God does it. You might not appreciate God's process and the steps of the journey. But if you learn to trust him a little bit, you will learn to figure out that God is working something out for me. And I don't even know he's a part of it right now. But once you start walking with it, you realize that God is working this thing out. Could that be the issue for some of us? Since we can't figure out what God is doing, we question everything. Not you, maybe the person sitting behind you, not you, but the one behind you. You've been living with God all this time, but you still question God, why this? Instead of just saying, okay, God, I'll trust you, you're still trying to get mad at him for why he did something the way he did it 5 years ago. And he has moved on to try to get you to where he wants you to be, and you're still holding on to the past. We serve the God of detail. Please don't walk away saying that Mac said that I was supposed to be hurt. You were not supposed to be hurt. You were not supposed to be let down. You were not supposed to be battered by parents who didn't know what they were doing. You were not supposed to go through that. But although you went through it, you have to get honor to the fact that God preserved you and he brought you out of that for such a time as this. Joseph's cure was started because God got him to Potiphar's house. So some of y'all have read the story, you know, his life in Potiphar's house wasn't the best, but it was better than being in a cistern. Y'all missed that. You read the preceding chapters and you know that being in Potiphar's house wasn't the best situation for Joseph, but it was better than being sold into slavery. You see, some of us, we want to go from the pit directly to the palace. You can't go from the pit to the palace. There has never been anybody that went from right here to right there overnight. And if they did, don't trust them. There's a process for this. And Joseph stuck with God for the process. Potiphar's house was better than the pit. He had to go to Potiphar's house to get to the palace, but you got to deal with some things in Potiphar's house. The cure was God started the process. The Bible says, meanwhile. Y'all, we got to go because y'all looking at me cross-eyed. But meanwhile, some of us are enduring some things now, but God is saying, meanwhile. Stuff ain't adding up right. But meanwhile says, at the same time, while Joseph was being sold into slavery, at the same time, meanwhile, God was already at work. Some of y'all need to know that today, that while you're going through what you're going through, meanwhile, at the same time that you're going through, God is already active in getting you out. So as you advance in 2020, don't you get upset and get discouraged. While you're facing what you're facing, at the same time, meanwhile, God is already working an escape plan for you. Don't you start cussing and fighting folks and all that. Trust him, because while at the same time, meanwhile, God is already working some things out. Is there anybody here this morning, you're going to trust God for the meanwhile? That while you're suffering, while you're enduring, while you're going through, you know that the God of the universe is working out his plan in your behalf. You may not see him working. You may not know what he's doing, but you do know that God is on your side. And if he allowed you to get in it, he will bring you out of it. Somebody scream back and say, at meanwhile. Say, at the same time. While you're going through this hurt in your family, God has already put the cure in motion. Meanwhile. Meanwhile. At the same time. Meanwhile. At the same time. When people are talking about you like you're a dirty dog, at the same time, God is doing something in your heart. That what they're saying to you is not going to knock you out of your place. That how they're trying to keep you down is not going to prevent you from moving forward. Because while they're talking, God is working. I said, while they're talking, God is working. I said, while they're trying to scandalize your name, God is working. While they're trying to come up with another scheme to keep you down, God is working. So why don't you celebrate the fact that although they may be trying to knock you out, God is working. Say back at me, God is working. God is on my side and God is working. Meanwhile, while his brothers were selling him to Potiphar's house, meanwhile, while his brothers felt like their hands were now clean because Joseph was out of their hair. Meanwhile, when they felt like they had gotten away from what they'd done to their brother, meanwhile, they felt like they could now smile and live again. They did not know that God had his hands on Joseph's life. And meanwhile, while they were trying to keep you down, folks didn't know that God was on your side. Folks didn't know that the God of the heavens and the earth knew your name and knew what you were going through. They thought they were going to win over you, but they didn't know that God was on your side. Is there anybody excited this morning to know that God is on my side? That no matter the weapons they try to form against me, no weapon will be able to conquer over me. Why? Because God is on our side. And I'm so glad this morning that we can talk about the pain in Joseph's life. Because the pain in Joseph's life mirrors the pain in some of our lives. But if we talk about the pain, we have to talk about the victory. If we talk about the pain, we have to talk about the victory. I said, if we talk about the pain, we got to talk about the victory. Because we know at the end of Joseph's life, God makes him second in command of all of Egypt. And if we talk about the pain in your life, we got to talk about the victory in your life. Because God has made you heirs. If we talk about the pain in your life, we got to talk about your victory. God has made you heirs. We are now joint heirs with God.
So the victory we have in Jesus because of Christ is now our victory, personal victory in our lives. So we can linger on the pain, but we have to talk about the victory. Now the ultimate victory is because early. I said the ultimate victory is because early Sunday morning, he rose with all power in his hands. The ultimate victory in your life is that not only did he raise from the dead, but he has risen in our hearts. And you ask me, how do I know that he lives? It's because he lives in my heart. Anybody have a meanwhile praise this morning? Don't fool with me now. Anybody know God is working on your behalf right now? Don't play with me. It's 2020. Anybody know while the walls are crumbling down, God is building up a standard around you that no weapon formed against you shall prosper? I don't care how things looked last year. It's a brand new year. It's a brand new decade. And one thing I know is that God is on my side. I don't have to worry about today or tomorrow because I know God is. That's some good news. I don't have to worry about if you gonna like me tomorrow because I know God is. I said God is. Yes, God is on my side. Be not dismayed. Whatever been tied, as you're going through, God is at work. So whatever your deficits may be, God is on your side. And I don't care what they said. People have been given all these prophecies and all that kind of stuff about 2020. I don't know. All I know is what God said to me. And all you know is what God has said to you. And that's what you hold on to. Because while you're waiting on God to do it, meanwhile, he's already at work. Come on and clap your hands and give God thanks. Listen, we gotta go. But I don't think y'all really understand the fact that God is at work right now. Whatever those live issues are in your life and your family's life right now, God is in the midst of it now. For the last bad conversation you had with that family member, God is in the midst of that. He's working some things out even now. He's massaging hearts right now for the next conversation. He's at work now. You may not be ready for it, but God is working it out. And whatever God does, he's going to bring clarity. He's going to give you clarity on what your next words should be and what your next steps should be. He's the God of detail. And he got Joseph all the way to Egypt. That was Joseph's journey. What's your journey today? Do you know where God has you today? Are you in touch with where you believe God is taking you? All husbands, are you in touch where God is taking your family? All wives, are you in touch where God is saying to you about your husband, about your children? That's that spiritual clarity we have to go after. We're not going to step into a new decade and just do stuff for the sake of that's what we do. No. There's a purpose in you having breath today. There's a purpose in you being alive today. Yes, you have to endure hardship. You have to endure stuff.
But meanwhile, while you're enduring, God is working out his plan. And his plan ultimately is going to be satisfied. It's going to happen. Would you close your eyes and open your heart? Father, there are some details going on that we don't know. We don't know what you're doing. And we've come to the place in our spiritual maturity that's not our business to know what you're doing. Our business is to trust you. So on this first Sunday of 2020, this brand new decade, Father, we're saying to you that as your sons and daughters, we trust you. Because knowing that you are already at work satisfies us. If we knew your specific plans, we would probably get in the way. If we knew exactly what your thoughts were about tomorrow, we would get in the way, make it worse. Father, we're learning to trust you in our lives. Trust you in the lives of our children. Trust you in the lives of our grandchildren, our future grandchildren. Lord, we're learning to trust you because we know that you're at work. And so we surrender our will to you today, Father. We desire to please you more than anything else. So as we sit in your presence, Father, we're not just doing this because on Sundays we do this. No. This is not religion. This is our relationship on the table. And because we pursue you, you draw nigh unto us. James 4 says, draw nigh unto him, and he'll draw nigh unto you. So Father, take us. We want to be used by you. So as you're sitting there, this is personal. We'll have a moment in a minute so you can pray for your family, but right now it's personal. Because everybody in here that understands my voice, you have the challenge to get to know God for yourself. God does not have grandchildren. Everybody has to have their own relationship with him. We cannot go to heaven off of our mother's, our grandmother's, grandfather's faith. It must be established in our own heart of hearts. So, Father, to the kids, all the way to the eldest person in this room, we have a decision to make. To choose this day who we're going to serve. To make the choice decision on what's going to be our focus. Not just because there's calamity all around us. Not just because somebody came into a church last Sunday and shot it up. No, we don't do this based off of fear. We make this decision based off of love. And Father, we choose light over darkness. We choose life over death. This is not saying you're going to understand everything the Bible says. You get understanding over time as you go, as you pursue him. Yet it starts with an initial relationship. To all men, I challenge you for you to be the husband, the father, the son that God wants you to be. You will never step into that fully without knowing Jesus Christ. All women, I challenge you, you'll never be the woman that everybody needs you to be. You cannot be that superwoman without the supernatural power of Jesus Christ. I challenge you to try him today. To every student, every child in this room, God loves you. You have to make the choice to love him more than playing Pokemon, more than being online, YouTubing, and more than doing all this extra stuff. He has to be the priority. And if you don't make him the priority, now it's going to be harder when you get your parents' age to change your life. So choose today. Choose today. Choose today. You've tried everything else. Give God a try. Today.